welcome to Life with a Girlfriend.
And we're the girlfriends.
Christy Marine and Julie.
Mother and daughter.
Yes. And we
But girlfriends.
We like to think of ourselves as a cherry on top of your sundae.
Ah.
If you think of your sundae as a sundae of ice cream.
Yes.
And then, you know, it's so funny, as the words came out of my mouth, I didn't realize it was a play on words.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. I'm like a moron today.
Man.
I just thought, oh, the weekend's like a Sunday, you know, and you build it with ice cream and hot fudge and all the good stuff.
And then comes 7 o'clock Central Time, we are the cherry.
Exactly. And
We are the cherry on top.
Even though I've had my cherry in many years.
Do I have to do that again? All right. Oy vey, Julie Marie. How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. You know, it's so funny. I have just, and I don't want to complain, but I will.
No, you don't want to complain. Why?
Today we're going to talk about a lot of interesting things. We're going to talk about Father's Day. I want to share some stories with you. And I also want to talk about how this idea of your vision, you know, and productivity,
yes,
and how we get there from here, and
mm-hmm,
and sometimes in the midst of it, when you're just so effing tired,
yes, and everything else has taken its time and place, and you still are holding on to your vision.
Yes, and a couple different twists on it. And Mama, why don't you remind me if I forget? Because one of the people I was listening to in podcast land says something on that really made me mad, like fighting words.
I'm not going to share with you yet.
I'm going to put it on hold in the back burner.
All right. What else are we going to talk about then?
I also want to talk about Oprah had on a gentleman. Oh, I can't remember his name. I didn't write this moment. It just escapes me. Isn't that funny?
Mm-hmm.
And he had written several books on conscious eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his latest book is called Cooked. So I should be able to figure that out really
fast.
Yeah,
maybe you
book.
Can Google that.
Yeah, and when I say his name, you're going to go like, Julie, you know, come on.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for you to find, conscious eating. I just don't know.
Well, and it's so funny because Oprah goes,
you are
Michael Pollan. Michael Pollan.
Who's Michael Pollan?
He's had several.
This is the guy that wrote Conscious Eating.
Yes.
Mean. Oh, okay. All right.
Well, he wrote the book Cooked, A Natural History of Transformation in Food and so forth. He's a pretty fascinating guy, and Oprah had him on his show, our show, and so forth. And
so we'll talk about him, too?
I want to talk about him a little bit.
All right.
Mostly about his ideas on food. And some of the things he talked about were really special, because I have to tell you, I have been, you know me, I've been struggling with food lately.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of anything than this push-me-pull-me with the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just this idea that every day I feel like somebody's telling me something else is bad, you know, and something else is good.
Right.
And something like,
and then you're just so confused.
I'm confused, but also I don't want to be in war with my food.
No.
And
I want to be at peace with it.
Yes, exactly. And he also wrote In Defense of Food, An Eater's Manifesto.
Oh, you know what? This is kind of making me wonder, but I've got to get some of his books.
Yeah,
it sounds interesting.
Exactly. And The Omnivore's Dilemma, which I thought he brought this up as a good point. I'll talk about this a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
A Natural History of Food, I believe, or basically A Natural History of Eating Meat, most likely. Let's see.
And one omnivore,
four
is, that
meals,
a, is that a meat eater?
Omnivore is everything.
Oh, okay.
Carnivore is meat.
Omni.
Herbivore is plant-based, and omnivore is eating it all, baby.
Yeah.
it's all on the table.
What was the meat-based one?
Carnivore.
Oh, my gosh, of course. Like you said, you're going to go like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, like that V8 commercial. Hit your head on a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could have a V8. And I'm really...
I've been into V8 lately.
I know you have.
I've been the one that's called Healthy Greens. I've been...
And actually, I look at it. It's not a bad one. It's got...
No.
It's not... I've seen other ones that are so high in sugar.
Yeah.
That's, you know, 40 grams of sugar per day.
Crazy.
And it's all vegetables and fruit, but the fruit they're picking in is just...
Yeah.
High, and it was like 13 grams of sugar. So I was like, that's not horrible.
Not too bad, yeah.
No, not at all. And So I want to talk about him a little bit because he brought some interesting ideas.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. And, you know, so first off, I want to really talk about with you with Father's Day this today. And our engineer said, I don't have any father kids, but I always say yes to Happy Father's Day. Oh, like, thank you. I'll take it. And so I decided to call him my tech father.
He's our father tech.
Exactly. But we had a very lovely day celebrating Dad's Father's Day. And I'm going to just narc on you a little bit.
Okay.
Because since everyone knows out there that Dad had a heart attack in February.
Yes, he did.
Everything has more meaning now. And it's kind of interesting because last week I talked about the author,
Elie Wiesel.
Yes, thank you, Elie Wiesel. And he commented that after he was really, really sick and almost died, he really felt that every moment was precious.
Right.
And Oprah was like, well, you knew that before. I read your books. You knew that before, mister. And he goes, yeah, I knew it, but I didn't really feel it.
Right. And it goes to a deeper level.
Right. Right? Yeah. And you talked to me a day, bouncing back and forth, this idea that, you know, we talked before, where you have to have faith or hope to believe.
Yes.
And you had to have belief to know.
Right.
And then take it one more step, so you have to know you to be it, you know. And
before you can be, and then once
you
can
do
it, then you can do it.
And so he was at that stage where, yeah, I know that every moment counts and is special. But until I realized those seconds were could be fading.
So I had a near-death experience.
Exactly. I couldn't really be that experience of where really every moment does count.
I think life is so interesting because you think you've done it or you're healed, and then something comes around again and goes, oh, I can go deeper with this.
Exactly.
Or open further. You know?
And so you've been with Dad's Father's Day and with a lot of things that's gone on this year. In your private moments, and then we make fun of it because it's just so funny.
Yes.
You're like, well, this could be Norm's last Father's Day.
And I did. I actually.
I'm like morbid.
No, I actually called it happy, and then parentheses. This could be your last Father's Day.
Father's Day.
Because that's what I felt. I mean, I gave him a present every day of the week.
And it's funny because he's not your daddy.
He's my sugar daddy.
Yeah, exactly. He's your sugar
daddy. Hey, daddy. Hey, big daddy-o.
It's so cute because I know there are people out there who are married.
And
they don't like it when their
spouse. They hate it.
When you call your husband daddy.
I hate it. Don't call me daddy.
Yeah, I'm not your daddy. You're not my mama, and I'm not your daddy, and all this stuff. But, you know, after a certain point.
After 40 years.
You're like, hey, he's my, that's all I know him as. Go to your daddy.
Exactly. Elliot, go to your daddy.
Go to your daddy. So then it just becomes second nature. Yeah, he's my daddy. Where's daddy at? So it's been a bigger, I guess, celebration or just the idea of making it sweeter.
Yes.
Being more conscious, which has been very hard for me because I don't want to put it out there like that, first off.
No, I know what you mean.
And second of all, I've just been a crabby bitch lately. So I've had to force myself to put that smile on my face and be all pleasant and all that good stuff. I'm working on it. I'm not horrible at it.
But you're wearing out, girlfriend.
I seriously am. And so we celebrate. I made breakfast in bed, which means I made breakfast for you in bed as well.
I know, girlfriend. You just do everything.
Well, it's like how am I gonna separate that? Like, okay,
I'm just making Dad breakfast.
Dad mom, just making Dad breakfast, and then. We got a phone call from my brother saying, hey, I want to meet. Let's go out and have some fun. So that kind of changed some things from just a relaxing time, open day to fun day.
Fun day.
And time taken day, you know?
Right. We went to the parks.
And it was, it was such a beautiful day. And that's when being in flow is perfect.
Yes.
Because it changes your plans, and then you're going, so what? And I just enjoyed myself.
I know. You stop being crabby bitch, girl.
I did.
Happy bitch.
Because I don't want my nieces to think of Julie as a crabby bitch. I don't. I don't want that memory ingrained in their heads, mm-hmm. so I'm always conscious of it. And here's another reason why. I remember there are just certain memories that go into your brain that change your life in small ways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I mean, it has to be just, you know, so I want to make sure I'm always conscious of what I say. I sometimes fail, but, you know, WGN, the radio show I love, WGN station, it's a big powerhouse, 3,000-watt station in Chicago. And they used to, now passed away a couple years ago or last year, Ron Santo, great Cubs baseball player.
Yes.
Has had type 1 diabetes, was an announcer for the Cubs after he played. Which, wonderful man, saw the earth, gave lots of money to charity, especially for juvenile diabetes. And he was being interviewed while he was in the hospital. He was on the phone talking, and, you know, and I remember he goes, hold on one second. And his grandson walked in, and he was just, like, over the top, like, hey, come on in. I love you. I miss you. Come on in.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say, shh, I'm on the radio.
Right.
Don't say a word, you stupid kid.
Right, exactly.
He was, and I remember going, I bet his grandkid feels completely loved by his grandfather and father.
Yes.
And so I know that when I see these two kids, no matter how I'm feeling on the inside, I want to make sure that
they have that memory of their
I'm always looking happy when
they're happy to see you.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, be quiet.
Like, oh, don't talk to me, kids, right now. Julie's having a bad day. Aunt Julie is having a very perturbed day.
Well, you know, this week you told me that, and it was so sweet. I have thought about this several times, but we're in corn country here in the Midwest, and the corn is growing like corn. But you told me that when you and Greg were younger, your grandma, Norm's mom, would take you out to the corn by the... And then you'd sit down, and you guys, and she'd say, now you'll be very quiet. And if you're really quiet, you'll hear the corn grow. And I just thought that was such a sweet memory.
It was.
And I wondered if you really could hear the corn grow.
100%.
Because, you know, it probably...
I'll tell you when. It does. I'll tell you when you can hear the corn grow. After an afternoon rain... And then the sun comes out, and it's like 85 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And you go by the cornfields, and you can just hear it popping,
oh,
getting louder.
Gosh.
You know, you're like, whoa, it's making noise.
I'm going to do that this week. I'm going to go hear the corn.
Well,
grow.
Tomorrow might not be a bad day because we're supposed to have some rain in the afternoon. And
yeah.
I'll be curious if you, because I remember hearing it. I'm like, that's amazing.
Now, do you have any of your favorite memories with your dad? Norman, Norman?
I have tons of favorite memories.
Share a couple. Some funny, some sweet.
Well, I wrote a song about him.
Oh, you did? That's right.
I sang him a song, and I sang it to Vince Joy. Yes, that's it. Vance Joy.
Van Joyce, wasn't it?
Riptide.
Yep.
On my ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very cute because he said, oh, I could tell you're really practicing, Julie. You sounded so good on your ukulele, like my three chords. And had a good time. I mean,
why don't
it's
you give
funny.
Us a little bit of that song?
Oh no, I won't. I won't even dignify that for the audience.
All right.
No way. But it was interesting because I talked to you know you asked for memories.
Yes.
And because I'm with him so much, and because I have very weird memories. You know, I don't have a lot of memories, but the ones I have are like. Hiding behind his back because they're watching Gorgals on TV, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the time we went to The Exorcist at the drive-in.
Yes.
And Greg and I are probably a little too young for that.
Probably.
and at the time, my uncle was living with us, and he wanted to scare the crap out of us, and Dad just laughing hysterically, you know,
mm-hmm.
and or pretending to be asleep. And Dad happened to take us upstairs. So we were pretending to be asleep, which means he'd pick us up.
Yes.
Yeah, those cute things I remember. And,
yes.
But mostly I just have a good feeling inside. I don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the energy that Dad exudes. There's no holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
It just all feels good.
Yeah. He's one of the good guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're just, first of all, what you see is what you get.
Right.
And he's You know what that means, right? When you say, "Yeah, he's just one of the good guys."
He's one of the good guys. You can trust him.
Yeah.
And he's in it. He's just in it. There's no. I don't believe in his mind. There's ever been a second chance. Like he's been thinking as a getaway. Like, how do I get out of this?
Right. Right.
How do I get out of this family? I never feel that that was an issue.
How do I go to the bar?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
He always wanted to be home, with us, have fun, and so forth. And that felt. I think it's why we still like him.
Like when you guys were little, we used to go to hotel rooms a lot because we were in the truck, and we used to always play hide and seek in the hotel room, and you'd be like. I think we'd put Greg in a pillowcase sometimes and pretend he was a pillow, and we'd stand you in the windows and with the curtain behind you.
There wasn't many places to hide, but we figured it out.
We figured it out.
And that was always so much fun. And just, I think because we were always together, everything worked out well. And he was such a laid-back guy that it all worked out.
Yeah,
and I know... NPR had a whole episode on Father's Day and several different stories, and it was interesting because a couple of the stories were when your father acted out of the ordinary, such as they never, you know, they weren't used to saying they loved you, and it was kind of cute. This one woman was talking about her dad who. Was an immigrant, worked really hard, made something out of himself, and has many apartment buildings and so forth. And she goes, he's never said he loved me. And a friend of his wife said, you know what? You should tell your kids you love them more often. And I'm going to challenge you that every day, for 30 days, you tell your kids that you love them. And she said, you know, I got the first phone call, and it was. An answer on the answer machine and said, so-and-so, you know, Sophie, I have this new challenge. I'm supposed to tell you I love you, and I'm supposed to do it once a day for 30 days, and I love you. And he hangs up. And she goes, I hope this helps you. Or I hope this makes a difference. I hope this makes a difference. That's the word to use. And she's like, well, this is weird. And nothing came day two or three. And then day four, it came again. I'm going to call you twice today because I missed yesterday. But I love you and so forth, and I can't wait till this is over.
Oh, my gosh. He said that?
Yes, and that was the last time he ever called.
Oh, really?
And for to say I love you for that reason. And she goes, it was okay because, first off, that wasn't my father. But it did make a difference because I really felt that he tried to do something completely uncomfortable. And... I felt good about it. It added to my memory banks of something that he went on a limb for his kids for.
Right, he just stretched.
Even though it was a very small stretch in most people's minds, but he did stretch.
The kids remember that kind of stuff, don't they?
Yeah, oh, for sure they do. Those are the things they remember. And another story was, and I ended up crying on this story, because this woman was talking about leaving for college. And her father and her had an okay relationship, but not like lovey-dovey or whatever. And the dad goes, I'm going to give you a box, an emergency box. I'm going to put in this box everything you're going to need in case an emergency happens. She was going to some big city for college or whatever. And, through the course of the summer, he goes, oh, I'm going to put this in your box. I'm going to put this in your box. And he got this box ready, and it was a cardboard box and filled in, and she knew that in there was lots of different stuff, some food, some a little bit of water, and $200 of cash and a flashlight and batteries and all this stuff.
Wow.
And it was all taped up, and it said, do not open unless an emergency. And so she was, during college, she had a chance to go to Europe, and she knew there was $200 in that box, and she's like, I could use that cash. So she opened it up. And she said, it was shocking because the first thing that was on there was a letter.
Really?
Yeah. And it was really sweet because the letter said, if you open this box, something really bad has happened. And just know your mom and I love you, and you're going to be okay. That's what a dad would do.
Yes, that is what a dad would do.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you're going to be okay. And And, you know, unfortunately, she opened it too early.
Yeah, they took the 200.
Exactly. And but I thought that was sweet.
Yeah. You know, I remember my dad called. Well, my mom called. And my dad, my dad hardly ever talked to us, really. You know, mm-hmm. he was always, and my mom goes, "Oh, your dad wants to talk to you." And so I go, "Oh, you know, hi, Dad." And he goes, "Hi," you know, said just a few things. And he goes, "I love you, and tell Norm and the kids that I love them too." You know, I go, "Well, sure," and then hung up. And I thought that was, you know, just an odd thing because that's not wasn't him,
right?
And but then, you know, 2 days later he passed away, and it was like almost like I felt like, wow, he knew at some point or some level that, you know, he wanted to say, "I love you." You know, the very last thing that I remembered about him.
And yet it helped you.
Yes, it did. It did.
I mean, same thing like with Dad when you said.
I know.
He was very...
When I said goodbye to him that day that he had his heart attack, he came over and kissed me. And
yeah.
I'm like, "What are you doing? Like, don't do that."
Yeah.
Jinx me or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we know intuitively, and I hope not. I hope... I mean, I guess
I
we
know
do.
What you mean.
But it's... Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I know.
And yet I do believe on the other side they can come, you know, you can feel their energy of it softening.
Because
I think for sure some people, you know, I know on the other side I'm sure that grandma loves us too.
Yes, yes.
So forth.
Yes.
But so happy Father's Day, everyone.
Yeah.
And it was
happy,
it's so cute seeing,
yeah,
seeing Gregory as a father.
Yes.
And even though he's my little brother,
mm-hmm.
and so forth, and
I was like, my little granddaughter said, you know, I came from my mom, my dad came from you.
Yeah, and you're like, yes, that's true.
He's given us
the rundown.
That's right.
Of how this all worked out.
Yeah,
and that's kind of where they're at right now.
I know.
Thank God. And so it's been a lovely, lovely Father's Day.
Yeah, it's been. And like you said, we got to stay in flow.
And it's been beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to you on the radio right now because I don't have those Sunday blues.
I know.
I had them a little bit before the show. Just that,
you did a little bit, yeah.
Like, I didn't do all this stuff on the weekends. And it's like, oh, Julie, stop.
Just stop.
Stop,
just
exactly.
Let it be.
And for sure. You know, I kind of want to talk a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Womack, one of the people I listen to on podcasts, he's been talking a lot about having a hardened heart.
Yeah, I know you've been...
it's been pretty profound.
Yeah, talking to me about that.
Because I think having a hardened heart also means you're not in flow.
Well, you accused me this week, but Mom, that attitude you just showed me, that's a hardened heart. I went, it is? I'm like, I didn't feel that at all, but then you explained it to me.
Yes.
And I see that. Okay. Could have had a hardened heart in that area.
I am such a bitch lately, aren't I? I go, knock it off. That's a hardened heart.
Yes, Julie. All right.
Well, I think because at that moment, too, I was talking to Greg about having a hardened heart, and I said, mm-hmm. you know, but then we have to put our mind and our attention to the beauty, to give it to God or to whatever you
mm-hmm.
want to call it,
because
there is so much beauty in the world.
Yes.
That we forget.
Right. It is, I think, having a hardened heart is really about forgetting. You
at
those moments, forget all the, like you said, the beauty, all the blessings, all that good, juicy life that's right in the now.
Yeah.
And you're either fast-forwarding, or you're in the past, or you're just curmudgeoning, you know,
yeah.
because of, you know, I always say, you know, if I ever could design my own, you know, fragrance, you know, cologne, it would be called Disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, because that's exactly, you know, where you can land sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to.
Yeah.
And I'm always apologizing and saying, gosh, I do not want to be here. I do not want to be, you know, doing this right now. That's the last, what are they always saying? You know, like, if that's taken up too much real estate in your head, it better be paying you rent, you know.
Oh, for sure. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And so this week I've really been working on how not to have a hardened heart, have a more open heart. And it really is where you put your attention. And that, in success jargon, we can say you're either focusing on the problem or you're focusing on the solution.
Right.
And
we know that the solution
is at a higher level.
Is at a higher level than the problem was.
Exactly. It was so sweet this week. Gregory had mentioned to me that he heard that quote, and he said that hit him so strongly that it's been opening up, expanding his views.
Right. That's nice, isn't it?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. So, girlfriend, we want to talk tonight about Father's Day. We may come back to that because that's how we roll here. We roll all over.
We roll like a... What's a segue?
Jukebox. Or a jukebox wizard, you know. Mm-hmm. Or no, not jukebox, pinball. That's
pinball
it.
Pinball wizard.
Our show's like a pinball. It bounces all around. And I want to talk about this idea of vision, your success, and that what I heard about today, you know, that this week, that really just...
Oh, yeah, that's going to be so juicy.
And then also I want to talk about Michael Pollan and Pollan. So should I talk about the food first?
I don't know. I'm kind of feeling the vision.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll go there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was listening, bouncing around, and sometimes I just put random on my little iPod, my generic iPod. The one thing this guy was saying, I can't remember his name, but he was talking about if you're not focusing on your dream and you're saying you don't have enough time, he goes, you're just not prioritizing because you have enough time. You have enough to do whatever you need to do because that's the one equalizer. And it was so funny because on the surface, I get that.
Right.
But deeper, I'm like, screw you.
Right.
Because the truth is, I really don't during this season of my life.
Right.
There's so much going on that is requiring my attention that going after, quote unquote, a dream, I'm having to steal time. Mm-hmm. And when I heard it, I just was like,
you wanted to just
Then he went on to talk about being productive, productive and, chunking, which we talked about previously.
And efficient,
being efficient, chunking things, you're overwhelmed, and then it was interesting. So I'm listening to this and it's hitting me deeper, trying to figure this out. And then Tim Ferriss talks about with your dream, asking three whys. Like if the answer is, I need to grow a big audience, why? Okay, well, because I want to have, I want enough people to buy my products. Why?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, I want to travel. And, okay. And he goes, traveling can be done a lot easier than growing your audience.
Yeah.
And so what really is the motivation behind what you think your action should be? Because if it's not really in alignment, you may not do it. Or there's an easier way to get to you what you really want.
You're really going on a good topic here, and you may not like what I'm going to say about this. Okay?
Well, it could be because I'm a bitch this week, so go for it.
But I know what you're referring to in terms of what you don't have time for.
Right.
However, the thing that you want that you've been trying to do this since October.
I know,
and your schedule wasn't like this
in
October, November, December, January. Okay, I mean, so if we're willing to really go deeper and talk about this, what is it then? You know, if it wasn't time at one point, and now it's time. If there is a time crunch now,
right?
But it's still not getting done, you know.
I don't know. I mean, because, if we're going to talk about this on the radio, you might have to be prepared to have some silence while I dig deep and try to come up with.
That's okay. That's okay.
Can you play the Jeopardy theme behind me?
That would be. Dun, da, 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 dun, dun. I think, is that the Jeopardy theme?
No.
Not really.
I mean, you're making a really great point.
Because I think that in life, there's just things that, no matter if you have time or not, there's a resistance
right.
to it that we, I think it's more about resistance than it is about time. And that's where I'm trying to go. And who knows why, because it's certainly not anything that is, hard or difficult,
Mm-hmm.
There's just this resistance toward it. And I think that could be a bigger issue because, hey, what if you didn't have resistance toward this?
Right.
What would it look like having this vision that you want fulfilled or already on this first prong, step of the ladder, on its way up to the next step of the ladder? What's scaring you or what is stopping you, Dun, dun, da, 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 da. Now that's the Jeopardy.
I'm really honest and let my, walk naked in front of, maybe do my walk of shame.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it won't
Game
be
of
as,
Thrones.
Yeah, hopefully it won't be as humiliating as the Game of Thrones one.
Yes, we can talk about Game of Thrones.
Well,
too.
It's just gotten too weird, too depressing. I think I may be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch it very often because we don't have HBO, so I only watch it when we have.
Mm-hmm. And we had it this weekend.
And I'm like, ooh, I'm just done, I think.
Yeah.
That made me feel really uncomfortable for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And
I started to watch it because I had heard so much about it, and I probably got through about maybe 10 minutes, and I had to turn it off.
Right.
I was just really, it was dark yes. material.
Very dark. So I would like to tell you that I have a way of being good at things that take care of the present,
right?
But not good at things that could take care of my future,
right?
And people who are, and that's how I've always been, but I desire to move beyond that and see these things at a higher level,
mm-hmm.
so that I can resolve these issues so that I can prepare for a better future that's expanded and doing different things and so forth.
Mm-hmm. But what if it wasn't really about your future? What if it just was, something that you had to do?
Right.
And let's say you had to do it.
Right.
You would do it.
Yes.
I think you would.
And maybe because I don't have to do it,
mm-hmm.
it never gets done because I've got plenty of stuff that has to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And that
is the truth.
Right.
That is the truth.
And I think that's why sometimes when people make this leap into another realm, they block off many other things. All right, Tony Robbins would say
mm-hmm.
they go to the island and they burn the boat.
I love that when you said that this week. You said, "Mom, are you willing to go to the island
and burn the boat,
and then burn the boat?" And you're like, "That's the claim you have to stake."
I think that is a claim and a commitment you have to stake.
Right.
And maybe because we've had a very good life, you and I have,
mm-hmm.
and we've always been provided for, and through our jobs and, mm-hmm. and so forth. And I sometimes when I hear people talk about, I had to quit my job, had to do all this so I can focus on that, mm-hmm. because otherwise it just wasn't going to get done.
Right.
I had to feel the tension, the hunger, the need that this has to work out.
Mm-hmm.
I had to know this was going to make it. I remember reading about, and this could be a fake memory or a false memory, but reading about Stallone writing the first Rocky screenplay.
Right.
And, he had a family. He had a wife and
right.
a child.
Right.
And, him intentionally not getting a job so that he would be hungry enough,
right,
going to get, he had to
I
get
have
this.
Heard, that's exactly right.
And so I get that, and I think, you know, you had talked to me about really shaking things up,
mm-hmm,
selling the house. You had a plan on moving to a place that could instantly be affordable,
mm-hmm,
and potentially, you know, take care of, you know, things without us having to work crazy,
mm-hmm,
and to allow more time.
Right. I think that's where I'm at right now.
Right.
You know, I don't have any resistance toward maintaining the status quo. I just feel, especially like you said, with Norm's heart attack this year and looking at life and seeing, well, wait a minute, I want a quality of life.
Right.
I want that time to just, I don't know, see what percolates.
Right.
I'm sort of tired of living by the clock.
Right.
And I would like something new, but I'm also, you know, I'm also scared because I've seen many, many people throughout my, you know, as a therapist say, I want to leave and I want to go do this and move to,
right,
you know, Arizona and, you know, and within a year they're back, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I am.
Oh, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's much easier to stay status quo, and
it's easier, but it's also it can be tough.
Yeah,
to do
I
that.
Mean, it's Tony Robbins talks about people are busy living a life instead of designing a lifestyle.
Right.
I can't remember the exact words.
Yeah, but
he
you're
used.
But the idea of designing your life.
Right. And how the choices that you make help you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be honest, it's easier to work a lot of hours right now,
mm-hmm,
putting out the next fire,
mm-hmm,
and
management by
crisis.
By crisis as opposed to management by objective.
Which does not provide a healthy business environment. And if you look at your financial life as a business, that wouldn't be the direction you'd want to go in.
No.
All the time.
But most people live by management, by crisis.
Right.
And like you said, putting out fires.
And so when you're not putting out a fire, the last thing you want to do, because you're like, oh, I'm spent. I need to have a little fun.
Right.
I need to have a little downtime.
Right.
And so you're in this perpetual extreme, you know, instead, mm-hmm, of, like you said, management by objective.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's this quote in the Bible, and I can't think of it. I'm not going to be able to do it all, but it said that sort of like God gives you the wealth and does not add sorrow, trouble, or toil to it, you know?
Right.
And I look at our lives, and we had to toil so much. We were laughing today. There was this one guy, he said, oh, we were watching Caribbean Life on HGTV,
right,
and he said, I'm a pilot on a boat or something,
mm-hmm,
for 6 months out of the year, and for 6 months out of the year I work 18-hour days, but then I'm off for 6 months, but that's just too much work, you know, and I was laughing because you guys easily work that, you know, 18-hour days all year long. And you know, it's maybe it did take Norm's heart attack, but you know, we're looking at like, is there real value here anymore?
Right.
What's the value in working like a dog? What is the value? You know, and it makes me question. You know, that can we make our money by not having to add sorrow, trouble, and all that toil, you know, that I would like to choose that way, if that's the case.
Right. Me too. That would be a...
And I think we're looking at that,
mm-hmm,
but it does take takes a bit of courage, you know, or some good wine, because, like you said, we're sort of imprisoned in our, you know, in our little rut, you know.
Yes. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't need a girlfriend. we'll talk about Game of Thrones.
I think we're done with that. I don't know. I think, you know...
I think it is a process, and certainly is reflection. And I've been given, you know, I had this one dream where I woke up in the morning and I just got the word stand.
Right.
And then the very next day, I got the word still. So, and I haven't received any more of those words. So at this point, I'm still reflecting on what it means to stand still.
Right.
And, you know, keep reflecting on that. What does that, where's the value there? And because my tendency would be to just...
Well, yeah. As you're talking, I realize, though, that I think one of the things that came popping up in this course of the week, and besides, having accountability, and that plugging in accountability is so important when you're an entrepreneur. And nowadays, because of the internet and technology, entrepreneur is such a wide definition. I mean, you could be one, and you're starting your own little tiny tech company or a tech idea, or you're writing some stuff to put on Amazon to sell or do whatever. It's such a huge word.
Right.
Where in the past it meant literally, I think, opening up a business of some sort.
Right.
Physical business that you'd have to be open 9 to 5. You know, it had to be open and look for clients, and things are different now and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Things are different and amazing. And I think because, you know, like I was with my granddaughter, and she's like 4. She's got her own iPad, and she's opening it up and touching all the different things and, you know, knowing exactly. And I did grow up in that era. So I have to get my head around it a little bit better somehow to see how the world can operate 24/7 and how you can be selling products that you never saw,
right?
You never touched, that have, you know,
right?
But that you said, this is what I want, and you found it and created your own labels, you know, that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Just a little bit of a difference, you know.
Well, I think then, like we talked about last week, about resistance being just this free flowing energy. Somehow, I'm attracted to it through the course of my life. And
oh, girlfriend, you inherited it from me, for
and
sure.
So
I am like, you know,
we have the resistance. And so I am very successful of getting the stuff that needs to get done. But the stuff that would really create...
That would create and design your life better.
Right, those go to the back burner.
Yeah.
And I surround them with resistance. Mm-hmm. And I ask God, you know, to help me release this resistance so that I can just get this stuff done. Because it is about inspired action. It is about works without faith is nothing. Faith without works is nothing.
Right.
Or is death, really. And so let's do that this week.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, let's do it this week.
I'll do whatever I can to support you.
Oh, thanks. We've got about 10 minutes left, so I...
Wow, are you kidding
me? No, I'm not kidding you.
That's so fast.
So
Isn't it funny when we're doing therapy?
Yeah.
It's so funny because...
I have no idea if people are going to enjoy this or not, but what the heck.
But, you know, it's so funny because when I'll just call you up or I'll say, Julie, I need some therapy.
Right.
And you're so generous to do that for me and help me. And I hope I got you back a little bit, girlfriend.
You did. You did get me, then also, too, the fact that, I don't know what to say, I mean, it just feels like I can treat it as a bigger deal or not so big of a deal and just get it done.
That's how I feel. When the resistance makes it bigger, it's a mountain.
Right.
You know, and we really know that it doesn't have to be. It just
right.
And you don't have to do it perfectly. That
right.
can be it, too.
Exactly.
A lot of people think, oh, I can't do it because I can't do it perfectly.
So we talked about Game of Thrones a little bit. So are you ready to talk about a little bit of Michael Pollan real quick?
I do, I can't wait to hear about it. I'm already wanting to get some of his books.
Well, the one thing we talked about was this idea that food, eating is a very conscious, in-the-moment experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that in the past, we all spent a lot more time gathering the food, cooking the food, enjoying the food.
Right.
And now, literally... It's 22 minutes a day of food and 4 minutes of cleaning up, and yet we eat a ton more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of things he talked about, like things, some rules that he has for consuming food and so forth, mm-hmm. is know where it came from.
Oh, wow.
Know what it really looks like. Like, mm-hmm. would your grandmother recognize that as food?
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, and sometimes I've eaten protein bars.
Yes.
I'm sure my grandmother would be like, what is that?
Yeah, what is that thing?
What is this?
Well, I just, you know, they ate a lot simpler.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And he talked about this idea of, I love this quote, too. He goes, if don't eat, don't get your fuel from where your car gets its fuel.
Oh no.
I go, then I
get my
Casey's.
Where my car gets its fuel.
Well, they've never been to a Casey's then.
I know, and I also get my popcorn.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. And so he also talked about that. I think every person who chooses to eat meat should have a conversation about it with themselves and how they feel about it.
Yes.
And then come to a conclusion that yes or no, I'm going to still eat meat. And he eats meat.
Mm-hmm.
But he said back in the day when, you know, we didn't have it all the time, and it was a ritual. I mean, we would actually give thanks and thank you for the animal that gave it to us.
Mm-hmm.
But now, because it's such mass production of meat,
mm-hmm.
We don't experience that. We are far removed. And I think we choose to be, we really choose to be far removed from it.
Right.
If I really touched the idea that, because, you know, I've talked about being a vegetarian, and we just,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel that good on it. I need a little meat in my diet.
No, I do too.
And he said, I would like to take everybody to, he said, I think it should be mandatory in high school that people go to a meat plant.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. Oh. And then come to the conclusion, is it okay? Is it not okay?
Well, it's not okay if you have to go look at that, that's for sure.
But then are we just being silly?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's going on,
mm-hmm.
we're partaking in it.
Oh, I know.
And yet,
this is like one of the hardest topics for me, because for decades, I love a great steak.
Right.
I absolutely love it. Or, you know, a good piece of a chicken breast or something. And yet, I would prefer not needing that. You know?
Well, and he talked
and feeling okay, feeling good,
yeah.
feeling healthy.
And then he said about grace really is the production of, like, your eating habits, your life, that part of your life. I can't remember the exact words he connected.
About grace?
Yeah, about grace in your life.
Really?
Is shown through the way we handle and treat food. And
oh my gosh.
And I thought that was very interesting.
Oh my gosh.
Because I do, I bet if you told me I had to really consciously make choices on where I purchase
mm-hmm.
my food and the
right.
kind of food. I know enough people that make, you know, that have organic chickens and organic, you know,
mm-hmm.
I could probably do it.
Well,
but
like
it
our
would
engineer
be,
before the show was talking about how it is an attitude adjustment for him to work in his garden. He was
yeah.
talking about this recipe that he had just tried with, I think it was a beetroot or a beet
yeah, I think
stem
so.
Or something,
yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, to have that intimate connection
right.
with your food, I mean, it's hard to even think about having that intimate connection with an animal.
Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but if we did, we'd probably eat a lot less.
Yes, yes.
And really enjoy the food and have it be more of a social, loving
mm-hmm.
scenario.
Yes.
And
to eat consciously.
Yeah. And so I thought that was interesting because we are so, we don't put priority
mm-mm.
on taking time with our food.
I mean, but think about if we did, though. I mean, there are different countries in Europe that really do. I mean, okay, well, you couldn't work 18 hours a day, Joel.
Mom, I really don't work 18-hour days.
It just feels like
I know. It's
like
close.
Right now.
It's close right now.
It's
but
hard.
I mean, that would be pretty much
I know.
Not right, but I know it feels like it.
Yeah, because it'd be illegal to do it that to do
exactly.
that many hours.
Exactly. So I know. I remember hearing back in when they were talking about China and how at the Apple you know, where they make the Apple factory, wherever in China.
Right.
They're like, oh, they work 12-hour days. I'm like, whatever. That's fine.
Yeah. I know what
I can
time
do that standing
you're
up. Yeah, exactly. Really?
This is painful though to talk about this because it is a big. I mean, the idea where I would like to aim for would be that kind of close connection to the land, to the food, to live in that simplicity, and yet there's just this hustle and bustle. And you said we had a Casey's that just opened up in Oregon, and it was a big deal because you get gas there, but you also get slices of pizza, and it's, you know, unfortunately, it's like really great food.
Right.
They're like amazing food.
Yes.
They
amazing
make their
food.
Own donuts there, and
yeah,
you're like, oh my god, and it's and you know, because you live around your work schedule, it's hard to take that kind of time. What you're talking about, to.
Well, I know. I mean, and
I don't
want to
feel
idea.
Condemned right now, but
don't feel condemned. But
I do though.
I know because you know how you'd like to eat.
Yes.
And it feels so far away from that.
Right.
Even though you have salads every day,
yes.
You take care of yourself, but the real connection to food that you like to have.
That we're talking about here. Like there's that one commercial, it said, when did snacking become just this mindless eating, you know, having this bowl in front of you and just watching TV and just eating.
Right.
And they were, the commercial was for like this, I don't know, Laughing Cow little packet of cheese with a, you know, on a cracker or something. But it makes a good point.
So
because people do just, you know.
Yeah, just mindlessly.
Just mindlessly.
I've done it today.
Yes.
So what do we say then this week? This week we keep.
Consciousness. Focus.
Yes.
Releasing resistance. Not getting into perfection. Just doing something for the pure sake of doing it.
Well, and you know what? Tim Ferriss talks about this, and I had to hear it the first time. He goes, it doesn't matter if you do things well.
Right.
It just matters what you do.
Yes. And that really, truly separates. Because you look at somebody, you go, wow, they were not a rocket scientist. And look at how good they, you know, what they did.
Right.
You know why? They just kept doing it.
They did what was important for their specific task.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't have that critical voice inside their head saying, oops, you didn't do that. Or, oh, look at how long this took you. Are you sure you want to do this again? There's something that they didn't listen to. There's some voice that they didn't listen to.
Exactly.
That we do.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like you've touched my soul in a deep, deep way.
Yeah, you're tired.
I am, which is not a good thing right now. But that's okay.
Yeah.
So, girlfriend, anything you want to say for the week?
I think we did. We're summing it up like, let's stay in focus. Let's stay out of that critical inner, we call it the inner parent, critical parent inside of us, so that we can do what we have to do. Stay out of resistance or just recognize it as a cloud that can just flow by and not
and
have
to stay with
you. And if
there is something that you haven't been doing that you've been putting off, commit to doing it, or decide not to do it and it's done with.
Quit giving excuses.
Either
do it
or say, no, I'm not doing it. Then at least it's off your plate.
Right.
And we can do that as well.
You bet. What else can we have as a takeaway?
Love your daddy.
Love
your mommy.
Yes. Hide your children. Hide your wives.
That's right. Love your doggy who had dog training today.
Yes.
He looks good. He looks happy.
Mm-hmm.
But nope, it's going to be a good week, everyone.
Let's have a good week.
Yes. And
it was great.
Yeah, thank you.
I hesitated because I wasn't sure.
Oh yeah.
How are you feeling, girlfriend? Is it great?
It's great.
It's always great with you.